Special Testimonies on Education, December 1, 1895, Chapter 49, Higher Education. The term higher education is to be considered in a different light from what it has been viewed by the students of the sciences. The prayer of Christ to His Father is full of eternal truth. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. The power and soul of true education is the knowledge of God, and of Jesus Christ whom He hath sent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Of Jesus it is written, And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. A knowledge of God will constitute a kind of knowledge that will be as enduring as eternity. To learn and to do the works of Christ is to obtain a true education. Although the Holy Spirit worked the mind of Christ, so that he could say to his parents, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Yet he worked at the carpenter's trade as an obedient son. He revealed that he had a knowledge of his work as the Son of God, and yet he did not exalt his divine character. He did not offer as a reason why he should not bear the burden of temporal care that he was of divine origin, but he was subject to his parents. He was the Lord of the commandments, yet he was obedient to all their requirements, thus leaving an example of obedience to childhood, youth, and manhood. If the mind is set to the task of studying the Bible for information, the reasoning faculties will be improved. Under the study of the Scriptures, the mind expands and becomes more evenly balanced than if occupied in obtaining general information from the books that are used, which have no connection with the Bible. No knowledge is so firm, so consistent, and far-reaching as that obtained from a study of the Word of God. It is the foundation of all true knowledge. The Bible is like a fountain. The more you look into it, the deeper it appears. The grand truths of sacred history possess amazing strength and beauty, and are as far-reaching as eternity. No science is equal to the science that reveals the character of God. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, yet he said, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Where shall we find laws more noble, pure, and just than are exhibited in the statute books wherein is recorded the instruction given to Moses for the children of Israel? Through all time these laws are to be perpetuated that the character of God's people may be formed after the divine similitude. The law is the wall of protection to those who are obedient to God's precepts. From what other source can we gather such strength or learn such noble science? What other book will teach men to love, fear, and obey God as does the Bible? What other book presents to students more ennobling science, more wonderful history? It clearly portrays righteousness and foretells the consequence of disloyalty to the law of Jehovah. No one is left in darkness as to that which God approves or disapproves. In studying the Scriptures, we become acquainted with God and are led to understand our relation to Christ, who is the sin-bearer, the surety, the substitute for our fallen race. These truths concern our present and eternal interest. The Bible stands the highest among books, and its study is valuable above the study of other literature in giving strength and expansion to the mind. Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The Word of God is the most perfect educational book in our world. Yet in our colleges and schools, books produced by human intellect have been presented for the study of our students, and the book of books which God has given to men to be an infallible guide has been made a secondary matter. Human productions have been used as most essential, and the Word of God has been studied simply to give flavor to other studies. Isaiah describes the scenes of heaven's glory that were presented to him in most vivid language. All through this book, he pictures glorious things that are to be revealed to others. Ezekiel writes, "The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle." The book of Ezekiel is deeply instructive. The Bible is designed of God to be the book by which the understanding may be disciplined, the soul guided and directed. To live in the world and yet to be not of the world is a problem that many professed Christians have never worked out in their practical life. Enlargement of mind will come to a nation only as men return to their allegiance to God. The world is flooded with books on general information, and men apply their minds in searching uninspired histories, but they neglect the most wonderful book that can give them the most correct ideas and ample understanding. Review and Herald, February 25, 1896.